Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast. This is your free agency edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
And the man bun, who, according to some readers who made comments, I'm not allowed to make any comments about you, and we have way too much fun on here, and our jokes aren't funny.
Wait, you're not allowed to make fun of me anymore?
And no.
Oh, thank God.
The Gator stuff is getting old, they said. No more making fun of man bun. And by the way, we're also not allowed to have any fun during the podcast, so there will be no laughing on this podcast.
Are you kidding me?
Great. Now we got to start all over.
Start the podcast.
3, 2, 1, and welcome. Okay. We're going to laugh if we want to laugh. Yeah. Why? Because this is our podcast, damn it.
That's right.
No one's forcing you to listen.
That's right.
I'm not Rex Tillerson. This is not, I'm not telling the Soviet Union what they have to do for Donald Trump.
We like the history joke, though.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah, that was good.
I'm just trying to get political. I don't really know
anything niche
about
audience.
Politics.
Very yeah. Niche audience, though.
I'm just trying to get people pissed at Scott. Oh, damn Scott and his politics.
I haven't said anything political yet. That was you.
Not yet. I'm sure the fab does come out tomorrow. There could be something in there. Who knows? Anyway.
Why the Soviet Union was right, the Fab Five.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I will not be writing about that for sure.
What do you think about Tillerson leaving? Was he fired? Or did he leave?
The Miracle on Ice was a lie.
He was fired. Interview.
Totally fired.
Well, yeah. I like Rex.
Speaking of fire, Jason Light and Dirk Cutter might
Breaking
be fired.
News. Jason Light.
If they don't get free agency and the draft right. And so, what are we thinking about what has transpired
Twitter would have
thus
fired
far?
Jason, like.
The day he didn't
Before
sign Michael Bennett.
Before free agency yeah. even started, yeah. yes. Twitter was trying to fire Jason.
And then there was a second salvo at 4:01 p.m., right?
Yeah.
On the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
When free agency started and there was no deals.
A minute in?
Yes, a minute in.
Yeah.
Where are the deals?
Yeah.
Crickets.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why don't you sign somebody?
I think,
yeah, You're sitting on your hands.
People looked at... Problem is that people looked at the giant cap number, that 70 million, 75
yes.
million, whatever it was.
I tried to explain it to people.
I know, and they thought they think that Tampa has 70 million to spend, and
yeah.
it just wasn't true.
No.
They had, I mean, what, realistically, what, 30 or 40?
They entered, after all of the re-signings, and we'll go through them real quick, Mike Evans. Right?
Yes.
And Mike Evans was already in the books for 13.2. He got $5 million.
Mike Evans' deal was a great deal when you look at the other wide receivers around the league. I don't even know who Ryan Grant is. Okay?
Yeah.
Ryan Grant got a $40 million deal with I don't remember the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Ryan Grant is?
Yeah.
Who?
He's this guy.
Old running back for the Packers? No, different Ryan Grant. Because
oh,
I thought that they were signing that Ryan Grant out of retirement.
Grant's department
Ryan Grant is the wide receiver four for Washington.
You must be talking about Ulysses S. Grant or something. I don't know.
A deep descendant, maybe. I don't know. Probably not, actually.
Probably not, but can't rule it out.
So, like, him, Paul Richardson, wide receiver three in
yeah.
Seattle. Okay, wide receivers.
Hey,
wait until
Odell
like
Beckham
10,
Jr. hits the market
like
next 10, year.
10, 12
right?
million a year.
Yeah.
And Mike got what? What is it going to come out to 16
a little
or
over
something?
16.8.
For Mike Evans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy hell, what a deal.
Yeah.
They're lucky they got that done.
Cam Brate got a hell of a deal.
Oh,
right? $6.8 million?
If I'm Cam Brate, I'm already renegotiating.
I can't tell you how many people from other teams, and I mean, it's speculation season, mm-hmm. so reporters from other teams are thinking about what, you know, they might be able to, their team might be able to do, moves, creative articles they might be able to write. So many people were like, so the Bucks trade OJ? The Bucks trade OJ Howard? They're going to trade OJ Howard?
Oh, Lord.
What do they want for OJ Howard? And I was like, they're not.
They like both of them. They're going to stay.
They didn't go into last year's draft,
right.
spend a first-round pick on OJ Howard, thinking they weren't going to sign Cam Brate long term.
Exactly.
They knew that that was the case all along.
Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of tried to tell people they think about tight ends a little bit differently down here in Tampa Bay.
In my
They're not really
battle
going
plan,
anywhere.
I put the number at re-signing Cam at $7.5 million per year.
Yeah, and they got what was
6.8.
it? 6.8. Yeah.
So that's some savings right
but
there.
But it's a hell of a deal for the Buccaneers when you turn around the next day and Trey Burton's getting 4 years, $32 million from the Bears.
Yes.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
who would you rather have? If you're starting a football team,
Cam Brate for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I as soon as the
depends
press
what kind of tight end you
over,
want, but yeah, I mean,
after the press conference was over, when we had him on Tuesday, I guess it was, I said, so are you like going to Jason now and saying you're going to hold out? Because, I mean, did you see the deal? And he's like, yeah, sheesh. But he says, you know what? He says, I'm making more money than I ever dreamed possible. Yeah.
That was his thing, too. Well, and I think they capitalized on that really.
I talked to his agent, Joe Linta, and Joe pretty much said, listen, I probably could have pressed a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I probably could have gotten a little bit more money. And Cam just like, get it done.
Yeah, that was your headline on get your story. That, like, was,
I just,
that was
good. I want to stay in Tampa. If they want me, let's get it done.
He does, man. And like, you could just tell how he was at the press conference. I mean, this is a guy who he lives with Adam Humphries and Ryan Griffin. Yeah. Like, they all have an apartment
They're
together.
Bros,
and like, and when we kept kind of asking him about his future and all this stuff, you know, like, normally when an athlete signs a big contract, you know, it's buying a house and a car and, you know, setting yourself up for a life and all this stuff. And he's just like, I mean, like, I'm not paying their, like, they still got to pay rent and stuff. Like, I'm not like going to. So it's just like, this is a, like, Cam Brady is a guy who.
There's value in that for
dude
Cam.
In his mid-20s.
He doesn't want to leave his friendships.
Dude in his mid-20s.
Situation.
He just loves his life. And yes, he wants to get paid, but it, like.
And you know what I asked Cam afterwards too, when we had our little private thing? I was like, Harvard guy, Harvard education. I mean, what's the average person make when they graduate with a 4-year degree from Harvard? $100,000, maybe, something like that?
More than that, but.
Probably more than that, but not $1 million, not on average. Okay?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I said, how many years would you have to use your Harvard education in the real job sector to make what you're going to make in 1 year? And he's like, wow. He says, a lot. And he says, and I don't want to have to think about it for several more years.
Right. And now he doesn't have to.
He shouldn't have to ever again.
That's the thing with Brate. Brate's not a guy who. I mean, yeah, he plays football for a living, and he wants to get paid for it, and now he is, but this is...
I also assured him he will not be getting
spot with him.
Comped in the What the Buck golf tournament coming up April 21st.
Yeah, you made sure that he knew that.
And Adam, too. I called Adam because he got a bump. I was like, sorry, bro, you're not getting comped this year. You're going to dish out the 125. By the way, go to What the Buck and sign up. It's for pediatric cancer, the One Voice Foundation. It's a great tournament over at River Hills Country Club over in Bloomingdale near Brandon. All of the money goes, every single penny goes to the pediatric cancer funding research, things like that. So it's a very important cause. You can hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever you want to do if you need more details of that. Trevor and I will be playing in that tournament. Scott won't be.
Do I have to be on your team?
No. I've already got a team.
All right, thank God.
Not a good one.
So you got Brent Grimes also signing for about $7 million.
Would you have done that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's in my battle plan. Did you not read the battle plan?
Absolutely.
No, like, this team is
I know, you got rid of him.
I wouldn't have done that.
They're bringing in Alex Okafor. They're getting Ryan Jensen, hopefully. Yeah. So, I mean,
wait a second. You forgot about re-signing Ryan Fitzpatrick. Boom. You got to give me credit for that one. That was my battle plan.
Yeah, that was you. Yeah, you got that for sure. I was a Mike Glennon guy.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Well, I would.
I made moves they should have made.
And Glennon ended up signing or is going to sign for around $4 million a year, which is not – is a little less than I thought. I thought, you know, the Buccaneers were prepared to pay him $7 million a couple years ago to not leave via free agency to be the
How
highest paid backup
deal
in the league.
How long would that deal
have
been,
you
think? How long would that deal have been?
Probably 3 years.
3 years for him to be the backup at like $6-7 million or whatever?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. But – okay, so add up all those, add up Adam Humphries, the 2.91, the Peyton Barber, the Javian Elliott, Adarius Blanton. Who am I forgetting? I think that's it, right, with Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Add up all of those deals, and you are looking at around $45-42 million.
I was going to say, I think it was around like 45, 47 was the number.
That. Yeah, and I think I may have even forgotten.
And
in
that's without
article.
Free agency.
Exactly.
Starting.
Yeah. I think I may have even forgotten Fitzpatrick's $3 million.
Yeah.
So call it $42
million. Okay. So, yeah. All right. 42.
So that's what they start with. They're going to earmark $30 million of that.
Again, people think that that's 42 to zero.
Yes.
And that would just was not going to happen.
It's not.
42. Wasn't that the halftime score against the Ravens a few years ago?
42 to zero? Falcons, actually.
It was 35-0 in that game, the Ravens game that your son got the autographed glove from. Torrey Holt or whoever it was.
Jacoby Jones.
Yeah. His son's a Ravens fan, by the way.
It was 42-0 to
was
the Falcons.
Was it at the halftime? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
In Atlanta.
But
people don't forget.
So you look at that money. So 42 minus 30, let's call it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got about $12 million.
30 for what? You didn't explain that yet.
I'm talking about for re-signing Quan Alexander,
right, there you
Donovan
go.
Smith,
right.
Ali Marpet, which is probably going to happen this summer
right.
in training camp. They want to get those deals done.
So that's about, let's call it anywhere from 10 to 15-ish,
yeah,
right? 10 to 15 mil left over after those, after that money that they put aside. Then you've got to throw in what? 6 mil for the draft picks
you're
about
the draft,
to have.
Right, and then you want to have about $3 million at least heading
reserve.
Into the season. Because whenever you put somebody on injured reserve, whenever a starter goes on injured reserve, that money still counts against the cap. And now you have to spend extra money to get the replacement. And granted, these guys are on the street, they're scrubs, so they're probably going to come in at, you know, league minimum or maybe $1 million, something like that. However, sometimes you want to keep adding good talent to your team. This team spent $3.875 million on T.J. Ward last year in early September. So it pays to have that reserve right there. So in essence, how much did the Buccaneers truly have to spend on new guys? You're looking at $10 to $12 million, okay? And
now there's room they could shave. I mean, if there was somebody out there that they, thought Norwell, the guard, for instance, that signed for $14 million, if they would have thought he was worth $14 million,
mm-hmm.
They could have found enough money to certainly do that.
Yeah. Well, and maybe what happens is you have good intentions. You want to re-sign Quan and Donovan mm-hmm. and Allie, and you might have to hold one of those guys.
Let me ask you a question. If you're the Cleveland Browns, and yesterday at 4 o'clock you signed Mike Evans, Cameron Brait, Allie Marpet, Donovan Smith, Brent Grimes, you have the greatest free agency haul ever, right, if you're a Browns fan?
It's not even are we going to win a game this year. It's we're probably going to the playoffs, right?
I mean,
that's what the narrative becomes.
But that's essentially what the Buccaneers have done and are going to do.
And Rich McKay, this is one of the earliest lessons I learned covering this team back in the 1990s.
Toes on the line?
No, that was Greg Schiano. Oh, this is Rich McKay. Rich, and because listen, there if you go back
that's the
and
greatest
look,
lesson I ever learned.
If you go back and look, there were years where this team really wasn't active in free agency, where the big signings were redoing Mike Alstott, right. redoing Derek Brooks, redoing Rondé Barber and John Lynch and
Warren Sapp
mm-hmm. you know, and Brian Kelly, and those were the deals. Those were the big money deals, and you know, and he would start off the press conference by saying, listen, I know this isn't like the sexiest move, and I know that fans get more excited when you bring in new players than you do re-signing your old ones, but if Derek Brooks hits free agency, like, he's the top guy in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
If Mike Alstott hits,
right.
he's going to cash in.
Right.
And these guys want to stay here, and we got them under contract, and yay us. I mean, that's what it was.
Right.
But you don't get the fanfare that you get
sure.
when you sign a Dexter or a DeSean Jackson last
right.
year,
or an Anthony Collins,
or Anthony Collins,
or a Michael Johnson,
or Josh,
or an Alteron Werner.
Yes,
I don't know how many people.
I remember
were
when Derek
Josh
Ward,
McCown
there was a bit of a buzz.
I remember
for
that.
Him. Oh wow, he was the unheralded New York Giants
yeah.
running back.
Yeah.
I mean, people were just mad because his team went 5-11.
Dude,
yes.
I remember.
So they look at it and they go, "You're re-signing the 5-11 team."
Yes. I remember doing a cartwheel when the Buccaneers signed Alvin Harper. I thought that was going to be the greatest signing.
You've never
in
done
history.
A cartwheel in your
no,
life.
No, I swear, I could do a cartwheel back
Bet.
In the day. I could probably do one now.
This was back in PE when he had the
cutoff shirt,
the yeah. cropped Def
Leppard. So when I
shirt,
went halfway over, the shirt went all the way up around my neck, so I was fully upper body exposed.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad I wasn't alive then.
Still looks like I had a sweater on.
I'm
underneath.
Glad I wasn't alive. Not even that I didn't
a ginger
see it.
Sweater.
Not even that I didn't see
that
it.
That is
I'm glad
sad
I was
that
not
in
alive.
1984 he was not alive. No. That's scary.
I wasn't even like anywhere near of a thought in 1984.
I hate you.
So that's part of it. I mean, it's listen, I understand that fans want there to be a lot of excitement, and I was not shilling for the organization in any way, shape, or form, but I understand what their line of thinking is after having some of these busts, after having a Chris Baker, mm-hmm. after having a Bruce Carter, after having, you know, the guys that you mentioned.
Look,
I mean,
DeSean
about,
Jackson is
Eric
a bust.
Wright.
As of right now, DeSean Jackson is a bust.
He's
at what?
Bust.
At $11 million a year and a 5-11 football team, that's a bust. They didn't utilize him. Jameis
didn't
do well with
this
him.
This is actually what I'm
not saying he won't turn out to be good, and I'm glad he's on this football team.
I don't think he's a bust. I think there was enough production to where you say he underwhelmed, underachieved, didn't live up to the contract. You can say those things.
Okay. I say he's a bust.
But I don't think he's a bust.
I don't mean he's going to continue to be a bust. He's not going to be an Alvin Harper bust, I don't believe. But you can't. I mean, when you bring in a guy like that and you pay him that much money, you're expecting this offense to click.
No, if he's a bust, Mark, then the team wants to cut bait, okay? And that's exactly what Jason
don't
has
think
shown
they weren't considering
the propensity
it.
To do.
I'm sure it came up at some point. Hey.
I don't know that. To be
we got Chris Godwin, who performed well. I mean,
Chris Godwin,
it had to have been a thought.
I like Chris Godwin. I really do. He's going to be a very good player, I believe. He had one touchdown that came on the last play of the season.
What have you done for me lately, Mr. Reynolds? Let's just win the last game of the season against the NFC Championship.
He's one for one in his last game.
That's
true.
I mean, so,
yeah,
come on.
That's
he's the superstar right now.
Yeah. And Deshaun Jackson wasn't even on the field is what you're going to tell me next, right?
I'm going to tell you that. Go. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I don't want to get totally into this because this is what a lot of my cover three is going to be based off of next week. But
what's a cover three? I haven't seen one in a couple weeks.
I know. This topic is something that I'm going to dive very deep in for like all angles of why they have the philosophy that they do, the free agents that they brought in, the reason they're doing it, and ultimately kind of the outlook of understanding kind of why.
Well, apparently what they're doing is they're not going to let anybody run against them, and teams are going to have to beat them through
football.
Well,
yeah, let's talk about the guys that they actually are bringing in.
That's what they've done.
Let's transition there. Because we talked to Bo Allen today. Yep. He got his press conference.
Your man crush.
That was one of the most fun press conferences I've ever had. He walked up and addressed us like it was a high school presentation. Yeah. Like he was doing a PowerPoint presentation. Hi, I'm Bo Allen. Yeah, we know who you are, dude.
Yeah.
Played defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was like a Remember the Titans thing. You know when like the coach walks into the empty gym and it's like, what's your name?
Yeah.
Bo Allen, defensive tackle. You know, it's like he did that and his answers were pretty funny. He was – but he also too – he seemed like a really genuine dude and he also seemed –
He's a genuine dude.
You like him because he looks like you if you gained a lot of weight. If you stopped working out and, well, he's pretty built. Don't get me wrong.
He'd have to grow all of his hair long, not just shave the sides, though. You know, he would have, Trevor would have to get the long hair all over.
Have you not seen Trevor's hair down? It's long, believe
it
or not.
Not on the sides. It's like shaved, like the millennials do. You know,
I guess
with the razors and the clippers.
Damn kids.
Yeah.
Punks. All right, sorry, go ahead. I interrupted.
He's
somebody's
a big
comment
run stuffer,
about this.
Right?
Yeah, and even more so than his size mentality thing. Like,
yes.
He's definitely a guy who, like, this is not Chris Baker. Chris
Correct.
Baker was very much like...
Yeah, he's the anti-Baker.
Chris Baker very much cashed in with the Buccaneers.
No doubt about it.
Loved life, kicked back.
He liked to hump palm trees.
Didn't give a crap.
Well, who doesn't? Yes.
Bo Allen. Allen instead is coming off of a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm. Who does he remind you of?
Chris Hovann.
He reminds you of Chris Hovann.
And
right?
I'm saying that.
I'll tell you who else.
Brad Culpepper, kind of that grinder.
Yep, I'll tell you who else.
Fell guy.
He was the best signing in 2014 out of all of them. You have Josh McCown, you had Anthony Collins, Michael Johnson, Brandon Myers, Altron Werner.
Clint McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Clint McDonald is the only guy out of that whole group that saw the end of his contract, that earned every single penny of the contract, came in off the Super Bowl champion Seahawks team, wave defensive lineman, not a starter, hard worker, nose to the grindstone, does the dirty work.
Completely different personalities, though.
Totally.
Clint's nice, laid back, reserved. This guy's going to be yanking people's underwear.
But I think
mentality
and very,
their
very much
straps
the same.
And Ben Gay and stuff and goofing around, but having fun. But also, is probably going to be a guy that's going to be out there trying to start fights.
Chris
with offensive
Baker,
you could tell he's kind of got that, you know, a little
Chris
bit.
Chris Baker
edge
should
to
have worked is the thing. I mean, like fans get obviously really mad at the signing.
See, I don't think he should have.
He
I don't
should
think
have
he was
worked.
A good fit.
Right? No,
from where he came from,
he
should
have been able to put the helmet on and turn into an animal, and he didn't. Your nose tackle. That's what your job is.
Yeah.
And instead, the fun-loving dude that Chris Baker was on the sideline eating hot dogs and making faces at the camera was the same dude who had the helmet on.
I don't think Chris Baker was awful on the football field. I'm not saying he justified his salary, but I don't think he was awful at all.
He was supposed to start over Clinton McDonald.
Yeah,
Clinton McDonald was relegated to a backup
in
training camp.
But I think part of that goes in the fact that
Clinton McDonald simply outworked and outperformed
him. That's it. That's the thing. Outworked during those other 6 days. Remember Greg talking about Daquan Bowers, a guy who loves Sundays but didn't give a damn about the other 6 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
John Gruden says it all the time. I remember him telling me, he's like, there's two kind of guys in this league. There are play-yas and play-yers, and I want play-yers. I don't want guys that say, I'm a Buccaneer and wear the jersey.
Right.
I want guys that love practice and love to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. And I think this guy, you're right. I mean, Physically, he's much bigger than Clint McDonald. He is a bigger, younger version of Clint McDonald at today's rates, which is about $5 million as right. opposed to $3 million, which is what Clint McDonald made. But it's that type of person that they were looking to bring in. Not the heralded guy, not the Don Terry Poe, not the Ndamukong Suh, because out of all those guys, who got the headlines? Josh McCown, the quarterback, right? He played for Lovey. Michael Johnson, he was the big, you know, defensive end from Cincinnati. Anthony Collins was the unheralded, ready to start, ready to become that athletic left tackle. All Teron Verner coming off a Pro Bowl season in Tennessee. The guy that got the least pub was Clint McDonald. Yeah. And he's the guy that made the biggest impact out of those guys.
Right. And listen, I would much rather have Bo Allen without watching one single snap of his while I'm focusing on him.
I put this on Twitter because people are losing their mind. I'm going to explain this in our podcast here briefly. The greatest free agent class of the Buccaneers in their history was 2002.
I agree.
Okay. And the biggest name that they got was a post-June 1 cut in Keenan McCardell, mm-hmm. who was probably a B-plus player. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had A players. They had a whole bunch of them. We already rattled their names off. Barber, Sapp, Brooks, Lynch, Simeon Rice at the time, Mike Allstott.
Right.
They had all the stars, right? And then you had, you know, B-plus players, Brian Kelly, Brad Johnson, all that stuff. But they had some C players that would get exposed along the offensive line, in the defensive backfield, all that stuff. So at the middle linebacker position, that's why Shelton Quarles moved it to Mike. And what did John Gruden do? He told Rich McKay, I need to revamp the offense and bring in a bunch of guys, and they also brought in Greg Spires. All those guys, Spires, Joe Jerovicius, Roman Oben, Kerry Jenkins, Michael Pittman, Ken Dilger, Ricky Dudley,
yeah.
Greg Spires, those were all B players. They were not the creme de la creme, upper echelon
free agents.
They
were not tier one free agents by any stretch.
But all those B guys filled all of the C holes on this team and allowed the A guys and the B guys to win the Super Bowl. And that hadn't been done. They hadn't gotten out of Philly the previous 2 years. They didn't have the firepower. In the playoffs, it's all about mismatches and exploiting those.
And
right now, this team doesn't have enough A players, but they sure as hell don't have enough B players either. They've got a lot of C and D players. And so anytime that you can get a B player to upgrade a C player, and we've seen that now, I think, with Mitch Unrain and with Bo Allen, upgrading Chris Baker and, say, Silver Saliga's spots, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no. What did Mark Domenech used to always tell us as far as free agency goes? You get free agents to cover the mistakes you made in the draft.
That's right.
Other than 2014, which that one's not looking great right now, right? That
the draft. The 2016 draft was awful.
Oh, okay, 16. I'm thinking I got those two confused.
Yeah.
Because Mike Evans was 2014, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's getting better. There's less major, you don't have to bring in necessarily stars because your drafts have been okay. You know what I mean?
The whole key is when you start re-signing your own players,
right?
You're heading in the right direction.
There were years this team did not do that.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. They just did not re-sign their. I mean, I remember when Levante.
Basically Gerald McCoy.
Levante was the first one to re-sign. He signed before Gerald, right?
Gerald did. In October before free agency.
And then Levante. And I remember when that happened.
DeMar Dotson after that.
We were both like, holy cow. You know, this hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where they're bringing, guys are getting second contracts. Mm-hmm. Yet to have a quarterback get that second contract yet, but it's coming.
Never happened in Buccaneer history.
42
years. Has a drafted quarterback ever gotten?
Never?
Never. Ever.
Not
should have happened with Doug Williams.
Some players have been re-signed. We saw Ryan Fitzpatrick. We've seen Brian Greasy get re-signed. You know, but they have never drafted a quarterback at any spot. First round, sixth round, whatever. No drafted quarterback in Buccaneer history has ever seen a second contract.
Not even Scott Milanovic.
Was he drafted?
I think
he was undrafted free.
Maybe he was. All right, Mike Shula. He was drafted.
Was he really?
12th round. Back when the draft was 12 rounds.
Okay.
Don't question me on my late 80s, early 90s
That's
trivia.
That's why you're here.
I mean, y'all thought I was kidding about the UCLA kicker from the 80s.
I don't
know. Lee.
Who?
Somebody brought that up.
Who?
I told you. It was real. He sucked. The guy who said he only swings like 50% on kicks on
the swing. Oh, yeah, you told me that.
It's like a golf swing. Anyway, that worked out well. All right. And somebody commented in the section, my favorite comment all year on the podcast, don't ever question Mark Cook to an 80s football trivia contest because he will beat you down.
That's true. If it's creamsicle, it's you.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened last year a lot of times, but I can tell you what happened in 1981.
So if we look at it.
It's true.
It's true. It's very true. When you look at
9-7 beat Detroit on the road 2017,
you know,
final game
just,
of the year for the
you
NFC
know what
Central.
You should just start doing. I'll write the recaps of the games. Mm-hmm. You write a recap
flashback
of a game that happened in like 81.
Right. I wouldn't
just
even
write
need the
that
notes.
Recap
wouldn't even
and just
need the
write
notes.
It as if it happened yeah. today, and yeah. people will be like, "Bro, did you watch? Yeah. What did you?" I don't. And people would be so confused about it, but some people would actually love that.
I'll be the Abe Gibbern of the staff, where I'm just you guys just put me in a corner and I'm just banging on the desk, thinking it's still 1978.
Another fake name. Right
that's
there.
Not a fake
we're
name.
Not
what
wearing
is it?
Any
what
retro
it?
Coaching.
I will.
Attire.
What was the game? What was the name?
Abe Gibbern. It's real.
Didn't you send us a picture?
Yes.
Of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
real.
He was real.
Gibbern.
Scott remembers him down in the front row of the press box of the old Houlihan Stadium,
yep,
just
banging
on
the
desk, cursing guys. I told him to run a stunt. Ah! You know, he was screaming like he still had the headset on. Anyway, old age will get to us all, and it's catching up to me at 47 pretty quick. All right, so we've kind of recapped what the Bucks have done. Now, right now, as we're recording this, it's Thursday around something o'clock, 1:30.
Yeah. 2-14.
There's going to be more. No, 4-12.
Just
4-12.
Just kidding.
No, I'm doing our way too early season predictions yet. We did that for our 53-man roster, but not season predictions yet. 4-12. So what? 4-12. I'm going to use last year's 12-4, and it flipped.
It's
so
gonna,
I'm going to try and do the
work.
Reverse
we're 12
psychology.
And 4 last year. Oh my gosh, what were you thinking? God, that's almost a fireball offense.
Listen, I drank the Kool-Aid.
Okay, but 12-4. That's
you got
to
go out.
12-4
is
the greatest record this team has ever turned in. That was in 2002, the Super Bowl year.
And I would argue, offensively, this was by far the most talented offensive team they've ever had. They should have won more than 5 games. They should have just outscored.
They should have won 8 games just on offense.
Somebody
they
should have won 8 games.
Yeah. Always says what woulda, coulda. If Christmas, what's
yeah,
the same?
Warren said if candy and nuts that's were true. Apples and butts, then every day would be Christmas. That's not true. If ifs and butts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. What's your point? And just stared right at me from the podium up there. I'll never forget that.
Yeah,
right after he stole my can of Copenhagen. Anyway,
that's a true story.
That's a true story. All right, so and that's after he refused to shake my hand out underneath the tent. I mean, the guy's weird.
Yeah, Ryan Jensen here in the building as we speak.
Okay, that's what I was going to talk about. Yep. All right, so it was 1:30.
Alex Okafor.
What do we got coming
as
up?
As we record.
Yeah.
As we record. So what we're going to do is I do have that Groucho Marx glasses with the fake nose and the mustache and a trench coat. I'm going to get on your shoulders, and we're going to sneak in the building. I don't know who we're going to say we are yet. I don't know why they would let us in. Just
maybe we could say that we're related to Groucho Marx.
Yes, that's true. You know? And we're just going to go wandering through the building and see how far we can get and see if we can find Ryan Jensen. We're going to be real reporters.
What do you say?
Trailer.
They're looking for Ryan Jensen. Is he around? Have you seen him?
Wonk, wonk. I'm going to have a horn. Wait, that was Harpo Marx, not Groucho. He has no idea who the Marx brothers are, by the way. Idea. Uncle Stan does. He saw him live performing on stage.
Probably.
Up in New York, so. Vaudeville. All right, so these are the guys left. Buccaneers, is Jensen a tier one guy, yes or no?
Yes.
All right, so they're going to hopefully get a tier one guy. Scott, you and I have seen this happen before, though. If they get him in the building, if they leave, you lose. It's 50-50 at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to keep him in the building. You know, keeping Jensen in the building, Okafor in the building, getting a deal done before they're able to travel.
I think part of the reason for getting Mitch Unrain and Bo Allen done first is to prevent Ryan Jensen from running out of the building. I think that they're good run defenders.
Good point.
I think they're manned.
I was wondering why they were standing
one in
the front
door,
lobby.
One in the back, and not preventing that to happen. Yeah, I think that, listen, it's full court press right now with Ryan Jensen. They want him because they want Ali Marpet back at guard. It's not that they don't have any confidence or faith in Marpet's ability to play center. They think he did well. If I had to grade it, I'd say Marpet was a B-minus center and a B-plus guard.
Why is Jensen, though, and I looked at, you know, we were doing our battle plans and we were looking
at
free agents. But
he's
I mean,
a ginger. He's got
long red hair tats.
Yes.
So
he's
was
like
Garrett Gilkey.
He's
doesn't mean he's good.
He's like the offensive version of Bo Allen. is really what he is. Like, you talk about, like, training camp battles,
right.
Trench warfare.
He's going to be, like, starting some fights.
Well, there's not going to be contact in training camp.
Oh, that's right.
They may not even let him on the field at the
same
time.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, they may just be running on air.
It's a good catch, Trevor. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They're true. No training camp fights.
You have no idea how I have been banging doors around here behind the scenes trying to get this team to be more physical in training camp. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take any credit if that happens in training camp, but I'm going to say I deserve credit if it does.
And he's also going to take the blame if Jameis Winston blows out his knee because he gets hit by an over-aggressive offensive lineman.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm
defensive lineman.
I'm going to point and I'm going to say he had an orange jersey on. And
no
you should have known better.
Yep, that's true. Good
in the
point.
The words of Richard Marks, you should have known better.
And listen, there's no correlation that, okay, that's not true. Yes, this team started the season as healthy as they've ever been. By the second game of the year, they got guys laying all over the field. By the time they get to Minnesota,
people get hurt
losing.
Playing football. Who knew?
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Exactly.
You don't,
who
you,
knew?
You can't prevent,
there is,
you know,
no preventative.
16 weeks
None.
Of injuries
None.
Based on having a...
Everything is so bang-bang. Everything. Yes. Dalvin Cook blew his ACL out because he was cutting with nobody around him.
Right.
This is a game of football.
Yep.
That's just the way it goes. And when you play...
Ask Teddy Bridgewater.
And we
ask Ryan Tannehill.
We've asked... successful Bucs players of the past. Yes, you have to be physical in training camp.
Yes.
That's how you get your fingers broken, your things taped up, your whatever.
Science, guys. Listen, I mean, if the team can't run the ball and can't defend the run and can't rush the passer, that's trench warfare.
Yeah,
and
you're soft.
That is the one basic thing you have to do in football. You have to block and you have to tackle.
Yes.
If you don't practice that, you're not going to be very good at it.
Yes.
Say what you want about Greg Schiano and these guys spending 30 minutes every single day chasing donuts all over the field and diving into things, and it looked more like they were practicing karate at times.
Greg Schiano's problems, especially on the defensive side, were scheme-based.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about effort. It wasn't about – I mean, like, you can go back and look at some of the games that they called against the Jets that year, should have won that game.
Right.
The Bills that year. I mean, we're talking – 7 sacks in certain games,
mm-hmm.
you know, interceptions galore, forced fumbles. It's just that he was stubborn to a fault in running a single high safety. Remember the Giants game?
Yeah.
He allowed the Giants to come back,
yep.
because he kept pressing. It's like, you have a big lead up in New York. You need to maybe throw 2 safeties back there and slow Eli Manning down.
Who set a New York Giants record. Giants have been playing football since the 1700s.
Passing?
Yeah, 554, I believe. It was insane. I agree. But you know, say what you want. The fundamentals were there.
They were.
There were not a lot of missed tackles under Greg Schiano. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was a more physical football
yes,
team.
It
exactly.
Was.
To the point where they tried to rush the kneel down.
I still have no problem.
If that
is not
the
epitome of physicality, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Is.
How did you guys?
I
how
loved
did you,
it.
You,
oh, yeah.
Did you guys write that you loved it?
Damn.
Yes.
Is the whistle blows, you're running a play, you better block. Quit
yes.
being, yeah, I hated that. That was so
because
ridiculous.
Because, listen, guess what?
Screw you, Tom
guess
Coughlin.
Guess what? If you casually go out there and drop the center quarterback exchange
mm-hmm.
when you're doing the kneel down, it's a fumble.
Yeah.
Right.
It is.
Yep. Ask
okay?
Herm Edwards.
Exactly.
Ask the Giants themselves.
That's right.
We were victimized by it. Yes.
Yeah. Now, they were trying to run a play
yeah.
rather than do the kneel down.
Right.
But seriously, it's I've got nothing. I mean, it's like, why not try to foul? You know, March
well,
Madness is going on.
Well,
why not try to foul with 4 seconds
left? That's the thing. They do it all the time.
Now, if
sport.
You were so like.
Well, I mean, do the last 2 batters when you're down 11-0 in a baseball game just go up there and not swing at 3 pitches? No, they try and hit the freaking ball.
Here's the thing. If you're an offensive lineman, who says that you have to just stand there? You can, at the snap of the ball, aren't you supposed to just plow ahead into
right.
the
right.
guy in front of you?
Now, if you're a defensive lineman, because I think I agree with you guys that you can play till clock hits 0. Like,
yes.
you can go after him. That's
sure.
totally fine. If you're a defensive lineman, knowing that there is that, like, hey, we're kneeling the ball kind of a thing, there is that, like, unspoken thing.
You shouldn't, in my opinion.
But do you, like...
You shouldn't ever go easy on the football field
right.
on any play, in
okay.
my opinion.
Okay.
Just saying.
I was going to ask, like, would you say to the offensive line, hey, we're rushing you?
No.
Okay.
I think that's what pissed people off, was... The Giants weren't expecting the
yes.
Buccaneers to do that, and but that
weren't
was the,
or were
no, they weren't
right.
That's and,
why
and
if
that's,
I'm a defensive
but,
lineman,
but see,
I don't have any problem going like
but
doing that. But would you go?
Greg
hey, we're Shanna going for it.
Was trying to do was catch it. He knew they weren't going to expect
exactly.
it.
Yeah,
so he did dive at the knees a little bit, try and create
hey,
some chaos. But
the
you know,
the Patriots weren't expecting Nick Foles to catch a touchdown pass
that's
either.
True.
That's deception.
Wait a second,
is
you can't do
football.
That. He's the quarterback.
Exactly.
That's not fair. It's an unwritten rule.
He's not supposed to catch it.
I hate unwritten rules.
Yeah,
I need all the rules written. Because I'm going to break most of them anyway. But please don't get mad at me if I break an unwritten one. You better spell it out for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I think the only time we're not allowed to do that, in my opinion, would be the Pro Bowl.
Because
nobody tries the Pro Bowl anyway. So
the Pro Bowl's not a real. The Pro Bowl shouldn't be a game.
Agreed.
It shouldn't exist.
Easy. Yeah. I wouldn't have anything to do in January.
No,
have to
no,
go
no.
To
they can do
with
other
guys.
Things.
Oh, okay.
Don't
skills
play
competitions.
Right.
No, I agree.
Don't play a football game. Yeah. It's stupid.
Yeah. Ask Leroy Selman, who ended his career in the Pro Bowl.
Actually, what they should do is they should go out on the beach and play volleyball. Ask Robert Edwards, the Patriots.
Yeah, that works real well. Yeah. Or was it flag football or was it volleyball?
It was sand volleyball.
Oh.
And completely dislocated his knee.
Yikes.
Season or career ending injury.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. All right. Let's wrap it up here real quick. First of all, we want to thank all of our readers this week. An amazing week of traffic. You guys have been awesome. We want you guys to continue to come to the website. Trevor has an amazing thing up that we're all working on to update constantly. That is the free agent tracker. Bookmark it, whatever you got to do, come to it frequently during the day, because as soon as we get news of free agent signings or even rumors, we're going to put it up there and update that, so it's constantly being updated throughout the day.
And I think Alex Okafor, if he's healthy, I think that's a really good fit, because the Buccaneers do get, I believe, a younger Robert Ayers type.
Do you cut Ayers?
Yeah. I think if you sign Okafor, I think that you do.
If you don't, Ayers is back.
Yes.
And if you don't get Jensen Sweezy's back.
We're going to find out on March 18th, because that's the day where Robert Ayers is due a $1 million roster bonus. So they're going to find out if they're going to get Okafor or not. I don't know what Vinnie Curry's situation is in Philadelphia, if he's going to come free or not. But if he is, that's somebody that Jason Light had a hand in drafting in Philadelphia. He's not a big-time sacker. I don't think he has the pass-rushing ability that Okafor does. He's older, too. He's 30, where I think Okafor is 27.
Mm-hmm.
So Okafor was originally Arizona Cardinal, played under Brenton Buckner. There's the connection with him and Jason Light, who also had a hand in drafting him in Arizona. So I think if Okafor comes, that might spell the end of Robert Ayers. And as you said, if Jensen comes, that might spell the end
for Sweezy.
People
have the idea of getting rid of Will Golson. Will Golson's contract is like fully guaranteed. So if they cut him, he's literally still on the cap. So like it doesn't make any difference. If they cut him this year, they are still on the cap. It goes to dead money for $6.5 million. Yeah. So like next year you can cut Will Golson for free if you want and from then on. But they cannot get rid of Will Golson.
Right. They're not gonna save any money by doing it.
Right.
All they would save is a roster space. Right. And right now they need defensive tackles, not trying to get rid of him.
But just letting you guys know,
Mitch Unrain is not just a defensive tackle, folks. He will also play strong
he's
side
also
defensive
a quarterback.
End.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's
that's
not.
Right. He oh, can sorry. Kick.
Yeah.
He is a sorry. Kicker. He will unseat Pat Murray. Wait, he's already been unseaten.
Actually,
the right word?
Funny story. Mitch Unrain's first game, it's not funny, first game that he got action in, he actually came in at fullback.
And he really
caught a touchdown pass. Wait for it.
Against the Buccaneers. Yes. Yeah. I remember that. That was in Chicago, wasn't it?
Nope, Denver.
This was not. Huh?
I think.
Denver.
Oh,
Denver.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
this was like the least funny story. Yes. This is the least funny story I've ever heard in my life.
We're not allowed to laugh on the podcast.
That's true. Well, don't set it up that it's funny then if we're not allowed to laugh.
No, I'm allowed to say it's funny.
Well, Unrain just can't laugh. He's a guy that is going to push Will Golston too.
How do you say his name again?
Unrain.
Maybe it's just Ryan. Maybe the U is silent.
Maybe it's Unrain.
Yeah, Unrain? It's Unrain.
It's Unrain.
Unrain. It's German. I don't know.
At his press conference, just butcher his name every time, like in a different way.
Yeah. Just a different, like we've done here, you know, a different way.
Hey, Unrain. Unrain.
Unrain.
Unroyal. Anyway, I should have did that with Bo
He's
Allen.
A big
you
man.
Can't screw up Bo Allen. No, I guess we could have been like, I should have asked
you
if the A is silent. Is your last name Len?
Bayou? Bayou Allen?
Yeah. Bo. Bu. T. What happened to the T-Y on the end of your name there, Bo? Did you look in the mirror and have to take that off?
When he's in the interview. Pan? Pan? Is it Pan? Pan? Pam. Pam. Oh, Pam.
Pam.
Pam. Yep. Pam.
All right, so I'm not going to do that to Mitch Nine because he's a lot bigger man than me, and yeah, I'm.
You're playing with fire.
Plus, I've been training to fight Jude anyway, so
I
had to go
you're
down
more
and wait.
Of a cardio fight yeah. right now. Yeah. You got
to
wait.
I've had to move down and wait.
He said he was training to fight. Look at him.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks good. He's a mean machine.
I got my Copenhagen. Oh, I got my McDonald's sweet tea. Oh, I'm in full training mode right now. I got a bag of sunflower seeds on my desk.
He
in
does,
there.
Actually.
I'm doing the reduced sodium sunflower seeds at least. Oh, tell shit. Me I'm not serious
can
about
you,
this.
Can you just wrap up the podcast, please?
I don't really need to train for Jude, by the way.
Oh, my God. Can you just wrap up
difficult.
The podcast, please?
Yeah, I can wrap it up. All right. We really appreciate everybody listening, coming to the website. Tell all your friends about us. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah, shout out to Bucks Football on Instagram, by the way.
That's right.
They're killing it. They're
doing a great job helping us.
They're doing
us
a lot
out.
Of really good stuff. If you're on Instagram and you think that Instagram is probably your most clicked on social media platform, they do all kinds of Bucks updates. So they're
absolutely.
Linked with a lot of the stuff that we do too. So anytime that we have a scoop.
Yep.
They're going to be able to get it out there too, so make sure you're following Bucks Bucks Football on Instagram.
New Fab 5 tomorrow, SRS Fab 5, presented by Discount Garage Doors, will return, and it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. You heard it here first, folks. Make sure you check it out. Check out PewterReport.com and check out all of our great sponsors. Hey, when you see those ads on there, click them every once in a while. It's not a bad thing
just
to do.
Just for kicks.
Just for kicks.
Just do it.
Clicks for kicks. That's
support
our new motto.
The people that support us.
Exactly.
They're all Bucks fans. Every business that is on there.
That's right.
Is a Buccaneer fan. They cater to Buccaneer fans, so you're doing business with people that are like-minded.
And speaking of Buccaneer fans and sponsors, Pin Chasers here in Armenia, also a location on Hillsborough Avenue. We are starting our spring bowling league. Everybody up top, they're like, I can't really bowl. That's the point. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Bowling is the one sport you can do while you're eating a hamburger. It's not really a sport. You don't have to be good at it.
Too.
They have lots of beer. They have great food, pizza, wings, the whole nine yards. It's just an opportunity to get together, get away from your family and your kids that we all know you hate.
Jeez.
Come out for a couple hours on Monday night, hang out with other Bucks fans. If you want to throw a ball, throw a ball. If not, it's not a big deal. But here's the deal. Three-man teams, it's $13 a week. But guess what? At the end of the 10 weeks, you get a bowling ball. Value, over $100. So
wow.
You're basically bowling for free.
Wow.
You are.
Wow.
No joke. You get your own bowling ball.
You get
wow.
to keep it.
You get to keep it.
You get
that's
to take
right.
it home.
They will drill it for you the proper way,
you
wherever your hands are. Huh?
Are you good at bowling?
No, I'm awful at it. I'm the worst. I got a bad back.
Will your kitten be
two
there?
Bad legs. Yes, of course. He's
right,
the mascot.
Okay, that's,
I almost,
right, I'm
almost brought him today,
Pip's on
by
my
the way.
Team.
Pip is, yeah, Pip's going to be there. Probably not. He doesn't like loud noises. So
he was born 20 days ago. Abandoned at birth. Doesn't like loud noises.
Stop laughing. We're going to get in trouble. All right. So anyway, thanks for everybody. Check out, listen, call Ethan at Pin Chasers. Hit us up on our story comment if you need more information. Come out and bowl. You don't have to be good. If you're only one person, you don't have another two people, it's fine. Sign up. We'll match you up with a team. You'll get an opportunity to do it. And here's another thing people say, well, 10 weeks every Monday night. I can't commit to that. If you can't make it on a certain Monday night, you're going out of town, you can actually come and pre-bowl at any point, and your score will count towards your thing.
Wow.
And as far as the talent level goes, there's a handicap. The greatest thing in all of sports. The Buccaneers should have been handicapped 14 points last year. They would have been a playoff team.
Yes, they would.
All right? But in bowling, it's like golf. If you
actually,
suck,
no,
you can
no,
you can compete with the best teams.
The Bucs would have been screwed last year because didn't they score in the 30s in their first game? So their handicap
the
would have
Bears.
Been through the roof.
Technically zero because they didn't play against
that
the Dolphins.
Points differential would have been awful.
Yeah, that's true. They would have been negative. Yeah, that would have been worse. They would have been 0-16. Welcome to Cleveland. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. For Mr. Trevor Sickleman and Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook saying we will catch you next week for another edition of Pewter Nation Podcast. Out.
Out.